welcome to Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show.
So first up, let's catch up. Henry, I think you just got back from vacation and wanted to catch up. How did that go for you?
Oh, it was unbelievable. I'm sorry, I'm still not on vacation. It's sad that I'm having to talk to you two guys today. And the other thing is the Bahamas where I was 13 degrees cooler than Minnesota, so I actually went to the Bahamas to cool off compared to cool Minnesota off. Temperatures.
And you were underwater for most of it too, right?
Yeah, I was underwater for a good part of it.
With air.
With air.
Good job. Nice work on that. And you brought back a lot of data too.
I brought back a lot of data, and you know what? Some of it can get corrupted. I brought back a couple gigabytes of pictures. A
couple of things I learned in emailing back and forth with Henry about the call and what he was doing. Not only does Henry shoot pictures in the RAW, but I think he probably scuba dives in the RAW as well.
We don't talk about that, Dan.
About the pictures?
No, about the how I dive.
Okay. Interesting for everybody involved, I'm sure.
So what about that? What about data? What about losing data? I mean, just think about all those pictures out there, all that stuff that gets lost forever.
The question I have, and I guess this would be my throw it to Henry to explain something in a way that even an idiot like me can understand, is this whole term silent data corruption. I'm starting to hear it more and more from vendors. I was at ISC and had a couple of briefings with some storage vendors, and they're starting to use the term, but they're not doing a great job of explaining it. So what the hell is silent data corruption? It seems like there should be some dramatic music when I say silent data corruption. I'll throw something in for that.
Guys, silent data corruption is when you take data and put it anywhere, whether it's in memory, whether it's on storage, or you move it across a network, and what you have isn't what you end up with. So something flips. And the reason it happens is that the underlying protocols, where you're moving data to and from, whether it be TCP/IP and Ethernet or SAS, or even in memory, the underlying protocols are such that you have a corruption in the data section of your packet, and you have a corruption in the ECC section of your packet, and the data gets corrupted such that it's not what you put there. It's either corruption or a miscorrection. And you can have silent data corruption where, you know, you write data to a disk drive and the ECC says, oh, I've got bad data. I'm going to rewrite it because I know better than you do. And it rewrites the data badly because corruption's in the wrong place. So the problem is we have not changed the amount of error correction codes or the size of the CRCs in quite a long time in a lot of areas. And data's moving way, way faster now. So the probability of happening is going up and up.
Are we seeing higher probability of silent data corruption happening because there's so much more data, so much more volume, or because of the speed at which it's moving allows more errors to happen, or both?
It's both, but the speed is a function of the amount of data, is it not, Dan?
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't go any faster, you're at the limits of the technology. So it's kind of both. But if we didn't have the speed, I don't think you'd be able to have this problem as often.
Well, Henry, doesn't this stuff have a shelf life? I mean, isn't it like when Dan puts a sandwich in the refrigerator? I mean, after a while, it's going to get stale, isn't it?
3 weeks is usually about the limit on that.
Well, he's usually buying sandwiches, though, right near the expiration limit, Rich, so...
I like to get value. I like to get value. There are all these error correction things. We have error correction protocols. We have ECC. We've got all this stuff.
And it's not, hasn't changed, Dan. It hasn't changed in decades in some cases.
The wheel hasn't changed either, Henry.
But the wheel has changed, Dan. Look at the tires you have on the car versus the tires you had in your car 20 years ago.
They're not any rounder.
Road wear. The amount of road wear, how they move rain out, lots of things have changed in your tires in the last 20 years, Dan.
Okay.
Rich, to answer your question, not about Dan's sandwiches, but there have been some movement. For example, the T10, which is the ANSI's T10 group, which is the SCSI standards body, put a standard in just before the recession hit that was starting to be adopted called the T10 data integrity field. A number of vendors are starting to move towards that, but that only covers the data path between memory and disk drives and back. The tape people have got their own checksum that they've added, but it doesn't cover the network, and nobody's implemented it yet.
Is it going to be an expensive implementation?
For the vendors, it's an expensive implementation, and for the disk drive vendors, I think that's what took so long, is because the infrastructure to do it is a complete change of what they're doing. And yeah, there's cost involved in the whole path to do this, Dan. And that's why I think it's taken so long, because everybody has costs.
Well, how big a problem is this?
Well, if I lose a picture at home of my grandmother, I'd be pretty sad, but it's not going to be the end of the world. If your banking records flip a bit, Dan, is that and you lose everything in your account, is that a problem?
A problem, but the magnitude of it is not nearly as large as you think it would be. But I'm wondering how prevalent this is. This something we're going to be hearing a lot more about?
It is something you're going to be hearing a lot more about. And I'll talk to you about a personal experience I had a few years ago with a hotel and my online account. And I actually wrote an article about this. I think it's titled When Bits Go Bad. And I tried to log into my account at one point, and the password had been changed. And I thought I'd lost all my frequent stayer points, which would, because someone had hacked my account. And I have pretty good password management. It's, people aren't going to hack my passwords that easily. So I got on the phone with them, finally got somebody in third line tech support.
Did you actually talk to Tom Baudet of Motel 6?
No, it was the Comfort Inn people. Then.
Ah, another fine change. Okay.
Yes. The problem ended up being that I had a non-printable character as part of my password now. And I had ended up getting the ASCII for it, and I couldn't generate it off the keyboard I had on my laptop.
Oh, that's secure.
No, secure. So my point is, it got changed to this. So tell me that wasn't a silent data corruption of my password.
Okay.
I had never logged in the account. This character got put into my password in place of one of the letters.
Oh, so it wasn't your password that non printable character. Your password was fine.
No, my password was now had an unprintable character in
okay.
it.
Yeah, okay.
You had some Sumerian glyph in there instead of a letter or
yeah,
something.
It was one of the one of those things you pull up on symbols on
a
Word.
A wing ding or something?
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. Huh. Interesting. And since it's silent data corruption, you don't know it's happening.
Yeah, I thought somebody hacked my account.
And if something happens in the right way, it's going to be pretty undetectable all the way through. You just might have bad data.
What, and what about things like hurricane forecasts with silent data corruption, or things that are actually impact a lot of people's lives? There are significant issues in this area, Dan. It's not really a joking matter when you start talking about, what if you had silent data corruption for the subway system that on Metro, or some of the other things that are run? Or the aircraft that's fly-by-wire. All these issues need to be considered. And those things I mentioned, they've done a lot of ECC in their own protocols to deal with it. When we have more and more commodity computer systems running things, I think we need to start thinking about this.
I think you're right. I think you're right. That is concerning. But you know who's helping out on this front? Well, not really helping out. It's one of our new sponsors. Gen Systems. Don't know if you guys have heard about them. Oh. No? Gen System, they are fairly new to the industry. It stands for good enough for now. And that pretty much sums up their philosophy. As they say on their website, we are where you go when you just don't care all that much. Known for being the system that you go for when you have to make a decision and make it fast, maybe when you're on your way out in your organization and you just want to get something that'll mostly work for a while. Or maybe you're not all that happy with penny-pinching management that's always breaking your because you don't go with the absolute low bidder on every single project. This is a way to get back at them with our pals at Gen Systems. So you could be someone that doesn't think there's a whole lot of difference between hardware, so why not go with the cheapest? With them, Gen Systems, they're typically half the price of their nearest competitor on everything they sell. Half, guys. That's 50% less. How do they do it? That's probably what you're curious about, right?
Yeah, how do they get that done?
How do they get that done?
How can they possibly do that?
They know at Gen Systems that all hardware is the same, and with that attitude, they shop the world for the best or actually the cheapest open box, lightly used and barely touched products in a wide range of categories. You know, that server over there, it looks new, it runs fine. Who knew that at some point some ultra-picky, anal-retentive DBA kicked it back to the vendor because it seemed to be having some errors, seemed to be running a little bit hot or maybe a lot hot? Or along the lines of what Henry was just talking about, a storage array. You can pick it up for pennies on the dollar. Looks great, runs well, but every once in a while, you lose power to a spindle or two. Right? You're going to be running RAID anyway. So save the money, go with Gen Systems. They spot these bargains, they pick them up for pennies on the dollar, they passed most of those savings on to you. So it's good to have them aboard, guys.
Well, that seems to fit. That just seems to fit, I'm telling you.
It fits the three of us. Nice. That's what I always buy.
It's good enough. Nice to have people supporting the show.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.